Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 13th of October, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, KVOI, known as The Voice, and our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 and Globe, and in Douglas, it's KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. Check out our website. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. You'll also find prominently displayed on each of the pages of our website the Buckmaster Show Pledge. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Our friends at Tucson Sentinel, Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes an extended newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. We'll talk with the councilman for about a half an hour. There is certainly plenty to talk about during that period. Then Marie Miyashiro will join us talking about her new book, The Empathy Factor in the Workplace. And we close out the show with Judy Burns, longtime member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. The Buckmaster Show encourages you to be part of the conversation. Call us at 790-2040. That is the Buckmaster Show live line, or toll free 1-866-725-4-67. If you are outside of Tucson and listening to the Buckmaster Show in one of the eight counties that we reach of Arizona's 15 counties, call us on the toll-free number. You can also email questions buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, let us know. Last night, the Tucson City Council unanimously voted to explore mediation with the Rio Nuevo Board to help resolve a dispute over the ownership of specific properties within the downtown redevelopment district. City Council also asked the Rio Nuevo Board to please refrain from any further legal action while mediation is being considered. The Rio Nuevo Board recently filed a notice as a precursor to a lawsuit that demands $47 million from the city, along with a number of properties. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, Republican representing Tucson's Ward 6. Councilman, thanks for being with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Let me ask you something. How in the world can anything get done when you have this animosity here apparently being displayed by the Rio Nuevo Board toward the city of Tucson, the city council?
Well, you know what? The answer to your question is found in the effort that we made last night to call in a mediator. I think the analogy that I would use is if you have a dysfunctional marriage and you come to the point where you say we have irreconcilable differences, we're not splitting up, let's find a marriage counselor. Finally, the city council and the mayor, we agreed last night to say, look, even though this Rio Nuevo board has filed a $47 million lawsuit against, and let's be real, this is against the taxpayers of the city of Tucson that they're suing. It's not the city, because the city is the taxpayers. Even though they've done that, even though they continue to make the allegation that the city is withholding information, and now they're even saying that their own trustee, their bond trustee, is withholding information, they've been playing this victim card for going on 2 years now. We're saying, look, we are going to throw out yet another olive branch, because we owe it to the taxpayers. You know, every time you see one of their high-priced attorneys draft another news release or memo or sit up on their dais, you're paying for that attorney. So this lawsuit is aimed at the taxpayers. The taxpayers are going to pay for it to be dragged through court. Both the city attorneys, the Rio attorneys, are paid on the taxpayer dime. Any settlement would be on the taxpayer dime. We owe it to the taxpayers of this city to say, look, we're going to try yet again to bring this board to the table and find some sort of resolution.
At 790-2040, Steve Kasachek is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Councilman, I'm going to throw out something here, and you can join in if you want. Is there a member or two on this Rio Nuevo board, I'm going to cut to the bottom line here, that want to see failure of downtown and the Rio Nuevo project?
You know, before I was elected, I was one of the big parts of the platform was that the city has been using the Rio Nuevo board as an arm of the city. The city and that former Rio Nuevo board had wasted nearly $200 million of taxpayers' money. There was an audit that came out last year that said that there was gross financial mismanagement. On the heels of that, there are now two forensic audits in play, plus an FBI investigation. All of that is absolutely appropriate. The taxpayers deserve to know what happened for the last decade. However, to your point, when this new board was appointed by the state legislature and the governor, all things stopped. We have been going for nearly 2 years now with, for instance, 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, I led a tour of the TCC, and I handed to the new Rio Nuevo chair a list of needs for that facility that amounts to almost $40 million. The fact of the matter is that within 2 weeks after that, they filed this lawsuit against the taxpayers of this city. Since last December, when this board and their chair agreed with the city of Tucson, they voted to approve term sheets that would move forward towards a settlement agreement. Since then, there have been three or four new board members appointed. They had some drop off and some terms expired. And then we have seen a 180-degree pivot. I don't know if there are some of them who are trying to use this for their own political advantage. Frankly, they're not meeting again until after the election, and so I don't know if this is an election ploy that they think that if we make the city look bad throughout an election cycle, it's going to help the candidates who are running against incumbents. Frankly, I don't see how that plays out well if you're an incumbent and if you have any association with this board and you're a part of a $47 million lawsuit against the taxpayers. I don't think that wears too well. So, yeah, I have a feeling there's a difference between what you know and what you can prove. And so mine would be speculation just as yours would be. But based on their behavior, I don't think you sue the taxpayers for $47 million and say it's a goodwill gesture. So, yeah, there are probably some other agendas going on.
Let's talk a little bit about this new effort. Some group of downtown business developers and folks that have business interests, including Fletcher McCusker, are talking about an initiative, putting forth what they've called kind of a working initiative that's called Downtown Tucson Initiative. There's a fear among some of the business folks downtown that with the Rio Nuevo board and the city at this impasse and threatening perhaps to meet in court, that some legislators might decide to pull the plug on the project altogether.
You see, and here's the interesting part of that initiative. First of all, there are two parts of it. Number one, there's more than two. Number one, the members of that initiative, at least two of them are Rio Nuevo board members. One of the fundraisers for that is the immediate employer of the chair of the Rio Nuevo board. And one of the other people who's drafting this legislation was the chair of the Rio Nuevo board's immediate former employer. That's an interesting group of people to be putting together legislation. And in fact, Jonathan Payton is one of the people who is putting together this new initiative for the downtown area. He's the one who was involved in drafting the legislation that frankly said the only thing that the Rio Nuevo board can spend money on is a hotel and the convention center, and now they want to walk away from that. I absolutely would support the state legislature saying we will remove that restriction on the Rio Nuevo board so that they can spend money on things that are generating tax revenue. But for them to go the next step and say, oh, by the way, the state legislature is going to pass preemptive legislation and give permitting and development authority to a taxing district and take it away from a charter city, Bill, that just screams of a violation of home rule and preemptive legislation coming out of the state legislature. So yes, the legislature ought to back off on the legislation that Jonathan Payton had a hand in writing that restricted what they can spend money on. But no, the legislature does not need to be coming in here and taking development authority away from a charter city and giving it to a taxing district, two members of whom are sitting on the Rio Nuevo board and the chair who's involved in actually fundraising to try and get this legislation adopted.
Do you think Jonathan Payton perhaps is trying to sabotage this this effort with the Rio Nuevo board?
Well, I sure hope not. I mean, you know, the TIF, the tax increment finance dollars are coming in right now at about $3.5 million above debt service, above Rio Nuevo's debt service. That's money that that needs to go into the revitalization of downtown. So it's accumulating, and it belongs in this city. For some of these board members to say that the city has stole state tax money is just a fabrication. The TIF dollars were by statute allocated and directed to revitalization of downtown when the multi-purpose facilities district was formed 10 years ago or whenever it was. So no, we have $3.5 million to the net positive that ought to be going into revitalization of downtown. Anybody who wants to tip that apple cart over and watch those tax dollars go about going to Mesa or Maricopa County or wherever, I think is misguided, because the citizens of this community have a right to those dollars by statute. And if somebody is going to try and sabotage the TIF district, I think that they're doing a disservice to the taxpayers of this community.
12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Waiting in the wings will be Chris. He will be up first after we take the break. Councilman, stay with us. Lots more to talk about. Stay with us.
Okay.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues right after this.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
...12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. The headline from today's Buckmaster Show: Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek hopes the Rio Nuevo Board is not trying to sabotage the TIF district in downtown Tucson. And Councilman Kasachek stays with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to go to a call now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Up first is Chris. You're with Councilman Kasachek. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Bill.
What's on your
mind?
I'm doing real well. Go ahead. You're on with Steve Kasachek.
Hey, Steve. I've kind of been a fan, a supporter of you and Mr. Payton, actually, and I kind of get a little sad hearing the back and forth the last few weeks. I think maybe Bill should go back to his old show, Arizona Illustrated, and build a steel cage, and we could have a death match with you two out there and get this thing worked out.
And get this thing settled once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, I hear Jonathan saying things like the city stole this parking garage from us and things like that, and I hear some real unhappiness on your side. We don't seem to be making a whole lot of progress, but maybe you could comment on that. I was going to ask you about the streetcar, too, whether you got the business infrastructure problems worked out down there at all. That was my other question.
Thanks, okay. Chris.
I'll take them in reverse order. The streetcar, they're going to start turning dirt on that within the next several, well, actually within about 3 months is when they're going to start turning dirt. And you make just a great point. One of the only thing that makes that thing make financial sense is what kind of private sector business it catalyzes along the corridor. And so that is a work in progress. My personal opinion, and I've stated this at the council meetings, is that this kind of analysis and this kind of effort should have started 5 years ago. So we're behind the curve on getting the private sector up and going in concert with the streetcar. We are seeing some student housing going in. That's going to help. That is up and in progress right now in terms of construction. But it's going to take more than that to generate the tax dollars that make the streetcar make financial sense. Standing alone, it does not make sense. With respect to Jonathan, you know, and I agree with you, you know, enough is enough. And this is the reason that I pushed yesterday at the council meeting that, look, let's bring in a mediator. Enough of this public flogging of one another. I'll be honest with you, though, Chris. The Rio Nuevo board sent out a release today in response to our call for mediation that just slams me, and I'm really getting tired of it because if we could take the whole hour, I'd go paragraph by paragraph and refute all of it. But, you know, this back and forth is just really getting old. So I'm hopeful that that this perhaps was drafted by their attorney before we made the motion to bring in a mediator. I want to sit down in the same room at the same time with these folks and work something out. We are adults, and we ought to be able to do that. The big shame of this, two big shames. Number one is that the taxpayers are paying for this foolishness. And the second thing is that this new board has been seated. It was appointed nearly 2 years ago. Not one time in 2 years has the City Council and this Rio Nuevo Board sat in the same room at the same time to talk about the millions and millions of taxpayer dollars that we are responsible for working with. So, you know, that to me is just unconscionable. That's the reason that I called for the tour of the TCC about 4 weeks ago, where I did have four Rio members and three City Council members doing the walkthrough. It was as close as we've come to being behind closed doors. Well, it wasn't behind closed doors, to being sitting in the same room together. And I'm hopeful that we can do that, and maybe the mediator's the answer.
But from what you're understanding, the mediation has been turned down by the Rio Nuevo Board. Is that the release they're sending out? They're saying no to it?
They don't explicitly say that, but it was drafted. And this is another curious thing, is that they have another high-priced attorney write this media release. I mean, this is probably a $500 media release.
And who is paying for all of this?
You and me. It's taxpayer dollars.
Well, I'm getting really tired of it, and
yeah,
you're saying that they are not going to have not even bothered to sit down with the council. Why is it so hard for this board to sit down with the Tucson City Council and talk about this?
I asked for task forces to be set up, one incorporating some Tucson City Council members and one incorporating some Rio Nuevo board members to talk specifically. I figured if we can't talk globally, we can at least focus down on one item. And so I said, let's sit down and talk about the TCC. And so we voted to approve that. 2 days later, they filed a $47 million lawsuit. I mean, really? Is that your olive branch? And then they say that they only filed that, it was only a notice of intent to sue, and it wasn't really a lawsuit. Well, Bill, if I invite you over for barbecue this Saturday night,
uh-huh,
and on Friday I let you know that I intend to sue you for $47 million, are you going to show up at my house on Saturday for barbecue?
No way!
You know, I mean, so what do they expect? So they're surprised that we walked away from the task force, and yet now they're claiming this righteous indignation that we were ready to meet, but the city walked away. Well, come on, folks, you know. Get real about it. So they sent out this release today, and I hope that it was drafted before we offered mediation. But the date on it is October 13th, and we passed the resolution last night to offer the mediator. So I don't know. The timing is curious.
And it gets so personal for you after you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's really unfortunate because they cite my newsletters. And they say there's misinformation and misrepresenting facts. If I have been criticized about anything with respect to those newsletters, is that they're too long. And so one of the things that I did, one of the tactics I adopted was instead of writing the verbiage out, I put links in. And the links I put in are, for instance, to the Rio Nuevo financial reports and to the Rio Nuevo budget. So I'm not citing the budget. And to try and shorten these things up, every single piece of data or every position I take in those newsletters, I put in a corresponding link to let people make their own decision as to whether or not it's opinion or fact. And they're all on the website, on my Ward 6 website, all of them since I took office. People can go in, click on them. In fact, I'm to tell you what I'm going to do is in the one that's coming out later today,
uh-huh,
I'm going to put this media release that Rio Nuevo put out today, and
please
I'm going to put
do
it right in the newsletter so
please
people can
do
read it. And I'm not going to go paragraph by paragraph and answer it, but if anybody has any questions about their allegations, call the ward office. Send me an email. I will answer every one of them. But I want people to see what the board is doing because it's just disingenuous.
Yeah, only a few seconds left. Any progress on the Wells Fargo Bank sending a disc of financial statements concerning Rio Nuevo?
They're not going to send them to me, but, you know, that's another interesting thing about this release that they put out to get today. Now not only is Rio Nuevo alleging that the city of Tucson won't give them information, but they're alleging that their own bond trustee won't. I called that bond office about 3 weeks ago, and I said, I'm on the city council, and I'd like to verify some information I have. And they told me that Jody Bain, Alberto Moore, and Mark Irvin, three members of the Rio Nuevo board, are the authorized signatories to their account, and they are the only ones who can get that information. That's what Wells Fargo told me. So I guess I've got a problem with the credibility of their claiming that they can't get information from their own bond trustee, when their trustee told me they were the only ones who could get it.
Steve Kosacek, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. And again, that your newsletter, how is that available to my listeners?
Well, you know what? They can get it on the Ward 6, on the Ward 6 website, or if they want to call the Ward 6 office and get put on the list, it's 791-4601, and I'll send it out. It goes out every week.
Okay, Steve Kosacek, have a great afternoon.
You
thanks
too,
for being with us.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Steve Kosacek on the Buckmaster Show, talking about this ongoing, I'd call it a soap opera, but I mean it's a little more serious than a soap opera because it's our tax dollars here that are involved going on with the Rio Nuevo Board. Anyway, right now we need the empathy factor, and that's what we're going to be talking about with the author of a new book, Marie Miyashiro, will be with us on the Buckmaster Show, and that's coming up next, talking about the empathy factor. We need some empathy right here on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Thomason in Washington. A federal jury has convicted three North Carolina men of plotting terrorist attacks on the U.S. Marine Corps base at Quantico, Virginia, as well as overseas targets. The State Department says the U.S. has had at least one direct conversation with Iran over allegations it was behind an assassination plot against the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. The owner of the private park where the Occupy Wall Street protesters have been camped out is telling them they'll need to clear out so the park can be cleaned up. It says if the demonstrators want to return, they'll have to abide by park rules. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down about 53 points, the NASDAQ trading 11 points higher, the S&P is 6 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. I'm glad you're with us on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and The Voice Network, our stations carrying the Buckmaster Show up in Globe and Gila County and in Douglas and Cochise County. We are glad you are along. A new book titled The Empathy Factor focuses on building a more compassionate and empathetic workplace. The author is Marie Miyashiro, a Tucson-based award-winning business and communication strategist. Ms. Miyashiro is an internationally recognized business consultant, facilitator, writer, keynote speaker, and nonviolent communication practitioner with over 28 years experience. Miyashiro, thank you very much. Marie, thank you very much.
You're doing great.
I'm getting all confused with the M's and the N's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did you write The Empathy Factor?
Well, you know, I work with thousands of people in the workplace, and one of the things I saw, Bill, is how high the level is of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, fear, and The Empathy Factor is all about how to create more connection between people for two reasons. One is for personal happiness, you know, personal contentment, personal empowerment while you're working. And the other reason is because it turns out that all the organizational research is proving that this leads to greater productivity. So it's a positive for the individual and it's a positive for the team or the organization. And I felt inspired, having learned about empathy and seeing the power of it, to name it and make it okay for people to think that it's a workplace professional skill. It's becoming more and more of something that companies are training people in, empathic skills.
Marie, was there an idea that, was there a something that, kind of a trigger point that you figured that this would be a good idea for a book?
Yeah, you know, I met Marshall Rosenberg, who is the developer of nonviolent communication, and NVC, for short, is a practice that's not widely known within the business world.
I had never heard of it, nonviolent communication.
Yes, yeah. It's actually very well known in Europe and other parts of the country, and a very active community of people who practice a language and consciousness, really, a philosophy of how to hold all needs as that matter. So your needs matter, my needs matter, and the main thing that I want to do is humanize the workplace. When I go into work with teams and they have conflict, we find right away that if you can humanize, find ways to humanize the other person, the conflict disappears. All of conflict revolves around dehumanizing each other. All of violence revolves around that concept. So the moment we can make each other more human to each other, we're on our way to both feeling better within ourselves and also being more productive.
Maybe some of our politicians who are listening could take some lessons from this.
The politics are especially challenging because so much of the dialogue doesn't occur in person. It occurs over the airwaves or, you know, through the courts, something like this. So, yeah, one-on-one or, you know, being with groups of people, that's where resolution and human connection can really happen.
Some might be saying, well, perhaps empathy isn't doesn't have a place in a work environment. Mm-hmm. After all, work environment should be all about business, not really empathetic to your coworkers' needs.
Yeah, well, you know, when I hear that, and sometimes we do hear that, one of the things I'm really excited to share with people is the organizational research. If you start looking at what the studies are turning out, Bill, about what makes teams really productive and what also leads to larger margins of profit, it's about empathy. Now, you can call it other things. You can call it connection. That's a word I often use. You know, so how we connect to each other, how you connect to the consumer, these are huge areas of importance in terms of business. And also how you connect with how you're serving the community. So every company wants to make a profit, and I don't believe anybody wants to do it at the expense intentionally of others if they could find a different way. So this process is also about helping companies do what I call life-affirming purpose. You know, finding how it is that they can make a profit in the world while still holding that everyone's needs matter too.
How about compassion? Is that the next level of the empathetic connection?
Yeah. I would say that empathy, we're kind of hardwired to do that. Mm-hmm. You and I are born with that in us. That's why when someone is in pain, you know, it's something that we can feel for them or about them. Compassion is the next step. Compassion is, to me, empathy in action. So by beginning to see each other as human, that's the first step, which is what the nonviolent communication process does. And then the next step is also then to act from that place, to see that someone might be in pain or to even celebrate with someone. You know, empathy doesn't have to be only about when it's painful. It can also be, you can have empathic connection when you're celebrating with somebody that something's going on for them that's really a great joy for them, too.
Marie Miyashiro is with us. She's the author of The Empathy Factor. You grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii, and went on to Northwestern. What about your own background that made you feel that this is an area that you could help others with?
I had a couple of experiences early in my career where I worked for two very large companies. One of them was the largest communications firm in the world, and the other one was one of the largest publishing firms in the world, Time Inc. in New York City. And when I worked for those companies, I liked the people, but I saw that the system kind of didn't really support me being fully human in them. And from there, I went on to took my consulting practice on my own since 1985.
And it stifled the creative process, didn't it?
It stifles the creative process, and it also doesn't lead to the best outcome of productivity for the company. That's the piece that's really interesting to me and others like me, consultants who are helping companies become both more profitable and also more humane. They go together.
When I first heard about this book, I was attracted to it, not just because it could help business people, but I think it could help any of our listeners.
Yes.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to be in a big business or a big corporate environment to get something out of the empathy.
No, we work with a number of small businesses and sole practitioners too. But the piece that I really want to talk about is the connection between judgment and happiness.
Go ahead.
So the more judgment we have of someone else or other things, and by judgment I mean moralistic judgment. So we think something is really, really bad and we have, you know, we get angry about it. It turns out that it's not the event or the person that's causing our anger. It's our own thoughts. So if you have a lot of thoughts about wrongness in others or in a situation, the research is showing you're going to tend to be less happy. So what is the need that they're meeting by having these judgmental thoughts? And it usually has to do with something about rightness and wrongness. So what we find when I work with teams is the more we can help them move away from thinking in terms of right and wrong and black and white and really just seeing people and even circumstances from a more human point of view, two things happen. They tend to feel more content, and then they're also more productive because their skill to collaborate with someone else is much higher. It's not easy to collaborate with someone who has a lot of judgments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how can my listeners get a hold of The Empathy Factor?
The best way is our website. It's called www.empathyfactoratwork.com. That's empathyfactoratwork.com. And there's a link there that, you know, goes straight to how you can buy the book. And some videos and talks about this topic, and you know, other information that they can get about the book, and tips on how they can do it themselves. And I think the main thing I want to
Your bottom line message.
Yeah, the bottom line message is empathy is a learnable professional skill. Anyone can learn it. The processes outlined in the book take you through step by step. And as far as my publisher and I know, it's the only book that's ever been published that shows you how to do step by step to learn empathy and grow that empathy muscle, the connection muscle, in a workplace setting. So we're really pleased about that.
The book is The Empathy Factor. Marie Miyashiro is the author, and the book is available at theempathyfactoratwork.com. Got it. Marie, thank you very much for being with us, and good luck with the book, The Empathy Factor.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
Thank you very much. Coming up now on 1244 on The Buckmaster Show, waiting in the wings, our next guest, and it is Judy Burns, longtime TUSD governing board member and current clerk of the TUSD board, and she's always a very good interview. Lots to say about TUSD education. That's coming up next. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. It's 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show. Where does the time go? This has got to be the fastest hour of my life, the Buckmaster Show, live here. Noon to 1 on KVOI. We just jam-pack it with great guests. That's part of the Buckmaster Show pledge that you will see on our BuckmasterShow.com website. The Arizona Department of Education has assigned now letter grades for school districts statewide, with most earning a B, except for Tucson's two largest school districts, which both received a C in one of those districts, while the two districts are Tucson Unified and Sunnyside, coming in with a C. Judy Burns is with us. Ms. Burns, longtime member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. She's the current clerk of the board. Judy, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Are you happy with a C?
Well, no. But you have to look at the school districts within Pima County, and these are the two most urban school districts.
With probably the most problems.
Yes. Yeah. And they change, you know, they change how they grade us every year. It's letter grades, it's words.
It used to be numerical, and now it's the A, B, C, D, E, F.
Yeah, and there's the performing, non-performing, you know, excellent. I don't know how you can compare one year to another, which makes it very, very difficult.
And the C, according to this newest performance level, C's demonstrate an average level of performance.
Right.
But I wonder about some of the other, did they go school by school in TUSD or no?
We do have grades for each school.
And how are they doing overall?
I think they're doing pretty well. You know, I think most of our schools are in the A's and B's. Probably not in the A's, but we have quite a few in there. We have quite a few B's, a lot more, and C's, and a handful of D's. And they don't go any further than that. So we do the best we can, you know. And I hear that we should be doing better, and we should be. They keep taking money away from us, you know, and it's hard to do better and better and better when we have less resources, more kids in classrooms, and I think we're on the right track, though.
How are things going now with the board? Have things quieted down with the change of leadership as far as the board president?
Actually, it's more
harmonious.
Yes, it is. And we've had a couple retreats, which have been open to the public.
Well, not really, but we've
done a lot of shouting at each other, but which was good. You know, we were talking. We can't do that unless we're in public, and we were in public. But we were all able to get things off our chest, and I think it was good. The new leadership is, Mr. Cuevas is doing an excellent job. He's very fair. He's very balanced. And there's a new calm at board meetings. So I see it. It was very difficult for this board to make that decision, but I believe it's been a positive one.
Where is the ethnic studies situation right now?
There's one more day of hearings, which is next week, and
Were you called to testify? No, I was not called to testify. Superintendent Petticone was,
and yes.
Mark Stegeman was called.
And Michael Hicks.
Okay.
By the state.
Uh-huh. But you were not called.
I was not called. The people that have been there the longest that understand the evolution of these classes, Ms. Grijalva and myself, were not called.
I find that rather curious.
I do, too, and we did offer up to our attorneys that we would be willing, but they got people that were more closely associated with those classes.
So there'll be now one more day of hearings, and then what happens?
And then there is the hearing officer's recommendations, or what the hearing officer decides, and then still, if Mr. Hoopenthal does not like what the hearing officer decides, he can come back with his own findings, as he did when he threw out the state audit because it said we were not in violation of the law. He came back and said, well, I don't pay any attention to that. We're moving ahead, and I say you are in violation of the law. So
let's cut to the chase. I think a lot of people think it's a done deal.
I don't know. Yeah. I think we have a chance with the hearing officer. We have other legal things we can do that we don't talk about because they're you know, attorney.
Yeah, you don't
client.
Want to show all your cards, no. Do you, here in the poker match?
And there is still a lawsuit that has not been resolved between 11 of our teachers and the state of Arizona on the constitutionality of the law. So there's lots of things still could happen, and we're sort of just waiting.
TUSD is accepting applications for enrollment for any school in the district for next year. This is the open enrollment process, and this is new. This year, TUSD will have representatives at Tucson Meet Yourself.
That's right. We've had a festival of schools for the last 2 years in association with the zoo, and it's been a wonderful event, except too many people came, and it was, you couldn't get a parking space, and there was a lot of thing, you know, there was just like 14,000 people came to the last one just to come to the zoo and look at our schools. So this, you're already expecting thousands and thousands of people for Tucson Meet Yourself on Saturday, and we're in association with them. So
parents will who want their child to attend a school other than their assigned school need to register before December the 10th to be eligible for the first round of selections.
And that's so we can set up next year and figure out who's going to what school. And but it's a wonderful opportunity to look at our 100 or so schools on Saturday on this great event, and I know there'll be good food, and we have a lot of student entertainment that we're going to show off.
TUSD is negotiating a site lease with the International School of Business, International School of Tucson. This is a charter school that might be interested in some of the former TUSD properties.
Actually, it's a private school.
Okay.
And we're talking about, they've made an offer, we've kind of countered, we'll see where it goes. It's not a done deal, and it's mainly for Jefferson Park.
Judy, I'm going to have you slip on your headset here,
okay.
And we're going to go to a caller. Sam is on the Buckmaster Show. Sam, I take it you're not happy with TUSD's performance.
Well, you know, to recap what she said here, it's just basically they changed the, you know, different types of measures, and, you know, we're doing as best as we can, and it's okay, and, you know, we've got some tough neighborhoods. I mean, don't we expect more, and when are we going to actually do something that really will make a difference and get this city going in the right direction? Just seems like a softball interview to me.
Okay, go ahead, Sam. I'm glad we took your call then. Go ahead, Judy Burns.
I'm sorry it sounded like that. It's never good enough to be labeled a C school district. And we are doing some wonderful things at our schools, and we are changing our accountability. But you also have to realize that the state has taken away over $70 million over the last few years, and that cuts our resources, it crowds our classrooms. It does not make Arizona an attractive place for the top teachers in the country, and we're trying to create a climate that makes them want to come to TUSD because it's a wonderful place to work, and I believe it is, and it's getting better. But, yes, no, it's not good enough, and I'm sorry it came across that way. We have to do more.
And there are some TUSD schools that did get A's?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In all areas. I mean, elementary, middle, and high school.
So we're not trying to softball this, so I think you do realize
that
this district has these problems. And, you know, getting back to this open enrollment, TUSD continuing to lose students to charter schools, or is that pretty much leveled off?
You know, I don't know that we're losing more to charter schools. If you talk to school districts around the state, we've lost a lot of students statewide because of Senate Bill 1070. This isn't a very friendly place for a lot of people, and the jobs have dried up. I mean, you look at how we rate in foreclosures. If people can't find work, they're not going to be living here. And so there's lots of factors, and it's hard to determine what it is, but I believe that the charter school flight has leveled off.
Where will you be at the Tucson Meet Yourself? Is there a specific location if someone is interested?
It's. Or they. I was just looking at the map today, but it's near the main hall or between there and the music hall. So.
Probably easy to find, just
yes.
To follow the crowds. Judy Burns, thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Judy.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, coming up on 59 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview will be with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Very timely having Mr. Huckleberry on the program tomorrow, talking about the latest situation with Rosemont and the proposed mine. And, of course, we'll have the Reporters Roundtable on radio. That comes up at 30 minutes past the hour tomorrow. This is Bill Buckmaster for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon, and we will see you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show at high noon. Have a
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.